Yeah, the title is like really big, but I just took it off of our five-year plan. I was like, this is the best way to do this. Development of a non-destructive method to phenotype pH tolerance among cultivated ribeyes and southern highbush blueberries. Speaking of being redirected, I have been in small fruit horticulture for 20 years, and in the last year, they have redirected me into genetics. So now I'm a geneticist. Yeah. So the whole genetics program really went to blueberries this year. And our other geneticist is Steve, which is our breeder, and he does great with blueberries, and he's always done that. But the other three guys in our genetics team do nothing about blueberries. So they've moved me over to kind of get this started. And so this is the reason. The goal is to develop methods to quickly and efficiently select for traits for superior environmental tolerances. And what we're doing is trying to speed up the process. So if you know anything about breeding blueberries, it takes about 15 years from the time we cross it to the time we get to release it. So it's a long process. And so what we're trying to do is really speed up this process. And in the middle of that, we're going to use some molecular stuff. So my part of this is to develop a greenhouse study or a greenhouse method to phenotype these things quickly. And then the molecular guys will take that, find the markers, and then we can check them when they're a year old instead of waiting 6, 7, 8 years down the road, okay? So that's kind of our new plan that we're working on now. It's part of genetics, crop genetics. Like I said, there's four parts to it. Part one is to design and apply phenotyping methods to identify and measure traits associated with environmental tolerances. For what we're starting on are small fruit crops, but it can also be used in other fruit crops or all other crops, actually. The second part of this is to identify the markers and the genes that are associated with these things. And then the third part is to design and test high throughput sequencing methods to uncover these genes. And then the last part of it is to use this in the actual breeding program. And we're hoping to shorten our 15-year time to like 2 or 3 years. So my part is the first part is to develop a way to phenotype. And so what we did is I've set up a greenhouse study. We've got two benches. We started off with 10 cultivars. I had five rabbiteyes, 5 southern highbush, 3 plants per treatment, and 3 plant subplants per bucket. We're running, this is the pH side of it. What I'm working on now is a pH tolerance and a drought tolerance. We're going to talk about the drought, Todd. We've started over 4 times. But anyway, blueberries are native and they really prefer like a 4.5 to 5.5 is what we say on pH ranges. And so that really limits the space where you, the area where you can plant and grow blueberries unless you're just going to add a whole lot of acid to them. What we would like to do is identify some blueberries that will stretch that range out so that we can grow them in a larger area up above Jackson and all the way up, you know. So this is the way we did it. We've got 4 tanks in there at 4 different pH levels, 5.5, 6.5, 7.5, and 8.5. They're all in buckets. We have to put aerators in there so we don't, you know, suffocate our plants. And they're piped in. That's just a large aquarium pump, and we just pump air into them. And this is kind of the way it's set up in the greenhouse. It's a completely randomized design. And so the plants are secured in a little plastic mesh cup with a rock around them. We had to test 4 or 5 different types of rock that was completely inert so that it is not changing the environment of the plant at all. When we grow them up in the little rock cups for about 3 or 4 months just to get them established. Then when we start the study, we trim off all the roots on the outside of that rock. Then we ran the first study for 16 weeks. We ran it from March to June using natural lighting in the greenhouse. We used just a Hoagland's nutrient solution, like I said, at the four different pH levels. The solutions are remade and changed out. The buckets are all cleaned out, bleached, scrubbed every 4 weeks, and we change solutions so that they don't starve to death. And we adjust them weekly. What we found is that the plants that we put in at 7585, the plants naturally will force their environment back down to around 5. That's where they want it. So we just shove it right back up and see how long they can tolerate a higher pH. Some of the data that we collected, we did SPAD readings. And because what we were looking for was a way to quantify what we were seeing. And so SPAD was the logical choice at the time, but it didn't turn out as well as we wanted it to. We checked the pH twice a week and then readjusted it every week. And then at the end of the study, we totally disassembled the plants, which is not really non-destructive. The whole purpose is to find a non-destructive way to do this. But to develop it, we cut the plants up and weighed the roots, the stems, and the leaves, and then we're going to do some nutrient analysis on the leaves because I think that's going to tell us a lot in the end, but we haven't got that finished yet. These are just some pictures to show you the stresses on the plants. This is Tiff Blue. This is one of the ones that actually did pretty well. I'm going to get over here so I can show you. At 5.5, this is where it wants to be, and that's where it tried to stay. So they're really happy and green and pretty, and, you know, and the further you get, the higher pHs, they just turned yellow, they turned pink, they turned all kind of weird colors, and some of them just died. This is Summit. This is the one that it just, I don't think Summit likes hydroponics at all. It just died. So that just kind of gave us this range of the good and the bad. This is one of the weird things that we came across. I've always heard that when you're doing research, you answer one question and create 10 more. They're real happy with the leaf weights and the stem weights at 5.5, and they drop off at 6.5, but then they go right back up at 7.5. Now, why they're happier at 7.5 than 6.5, I have no idea. We're still working on that one. But here's some plants from Onslow. Onslow was probably our champion in all of this. We're going to use Onslow in to further the study. We're going to send that on down to the molecular people, see if they can find some of these genes, because it was really happy at a higher pH, and it did great. What we found was it had a whole lot to do with the root growth. You can see there's a 5.5 root, and these were really soft, healthy roots. They were, you know, pliable roots, and the higher pHs you get, the roots would grow, but they got stubby, and they were really hard, coarse roots. So by 8.5, we really didn't have a lot of root growth left, and it just was not happy at all. Overall, if we looked at rabbit eyes versus southern high bush overall, typically the rabbit eyes did perform better. You would kind of think that because they're native to the area. So they just really just overall performed better. And then we separated out at each pH level the rabbit eyes and the southern high bush. And it was kind of funny because the rabbit eyes did better in some cases here, but then the southern high bush would do better as you went up on the pHs, which I really, that kind of surprised me. I really thought that the southern high bush would just die, but it did really well, and it tolerates the higher pHs. Like I was saying a while ago, we did pHs twice a week, and if the plant was in a bucket of 8.5 solution, you know, in 3 or 4 days we could check it and it would be at 6. And so we were looking at the differences between the pHs and how much the plant was forcing its solution or its environment back up to where it wanted to be. And so over on that side you can see we were getting, this is 8.5 here, and we were getting a 3 to 3.5 pH difference
just pretty significant change for these plants. Powder blue did basically the same thing. Summit's a southern high bush, powder blue's a rabbit eye, so they both performed about the same way as far as that goes. If we go look at the SPAD reading, this is just a quantification. If you're not familiar with SPAD, SPAD gives you a number depending on the greenness of the plant. And so, you know, 20 would be a light green, and then if you get up to 44, it's a really dark, dark green. The ones that are in the pink are our southern high bush. The ones in black are our rabbit eyes. And we really just got a huge range. It just didn't fall out exactly real clean, I guess I could say. Then what we tried to do was to compare our SPAD reading, which was a quantification, to our plant health. And what this is, we had three different people that would go in and just look at the plant and give it a rating of 1 to 5. 1's about dead, 5 is a beautiful, healthy, growing plant. And so we correlated those two to see if they matched up and if we could use SPAD to show us a tolerance for the higher pHs. This is a graph to show you. This is 5, 5, 6, 5, 7, 5, 8, 5. And you can see that most of the plants, as you increase the pH, they just fell off as far as plant health. A couple of them, you know, they kind of hung in there, but they were not. That's Onslow. It did well. But then SPAD, we get basically the same kind of data. So then I looked and I was like, okay, well, if we're going to look at a tolerance, if we're saying where is this plant tolerant, we've got to decide on a level to say, okay, well, if it gets a visual light rating of 3 or above, then it's going to be considered tolerance. And we're still working on the statistics part of that. But if you look at the SPAD and the visual rating, it lined up pretty well, not as clean as I would have liked to have seen it. But I also went in and did the visual ratings and correlated those to the root weight, the stem weight, and the leaf weight. And we got a little, especially on like stem weight, leaf weight, we got a better correlation with that. That's just a graph to show you some of the leaf weights and how drastically it will drop off. Here's Climax, really great at 5.5, 6.5, it didn't grow. 7.5, it was, you know, fairly happy. We haven't figured out why. I'm hoping the molecular work will show some of that. The stem weight did the same thing. Root weight was a little more obvious. And so this is the correlations that we're looking at. We're looking at the visual ratings. And so they all correlate really well. To be non-destructive, I think we're going to have to go with our root weights, because if we take them apart, it's not non-destructive. And what the purpose of it is to take the ones that are tolerant and to take that plant and move it forward in the breeding process. And so if we cut it up, we can't really move it forward in the process. One of the issues that we have really run into is we order these plants in from commercial, like Finch, or, you know, from big nurseries. What we have found out as the molecular guys are going in and taking leaf samples, if we had 5 TIF blues, 3 of them would be the same and the other 2 would be totally different. So we're having to like back up now and say, well, is this really a TIF blue? The molecular guys can deal with that. I'm going to get my procedure down and we can go from there. We're doing a lot of tissue culture propagation now of ones that we know for sure are the same plants, and we're going to tissue culture propagate them so that we can move forward. But in conclusion, the SPAD does correlate pretty well to the plant health. Root weight does better. We can differentiate between pH levels. We can also differentiate between cultivar differences. We've just got to look at it more in some higher statistics and figure out where that tolerance level is going to be. the pH tolerance is best differentiated by the weight of the leaves and the stems, but that is destructive. And how quickly can we do this? Like this one we did 16 weeks. I was a little bit too long. The second set, we backed off to like 10 weeks. We'll be finishing up the second set in about 3 more weeks. And we're going to see if we can get some of the same differences in levels. So because this, we're supposed to run these through. The next part of this 5-year plan is to take crosses. Once we get tolerance levels, we're going to take crosses and run them through the system and see if it's moving through genetically. And so we'll take F1 hybrids and F2 hybrids and run it through and see if we can quickly in the greenhouse, you know, check these tolerance levels and then back it up with the molecular data.